Today is November 28th. No, it's the November 29th. Goodness gracious. 2018. This is episode number 490 of the Apple Context Machine. It's a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Brian Chaffin, editor-in-chief of TMO. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you would like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note over at facebook.com/groups/context machine. Now, today, my guest is Jim Dalrymple, Jimmy D, or as some know him, The Beard. Mr. Dalrymple, as he insists I call him, is the publisher of The Loop. He's also a guitarist and enthusiast of his genre. I think the kids are calling, let me look at my notes, The Mess Hole. Did I get that right, Jim? I'm sorry, Mr. Dalrymple, sir? Is it The Metal?
That would be right, The Metal.
The Metal. All right, that's good. And, of course, he throws the Beard Bash during Apple's annual Worldwide Developer Conference in San Jose these days. And you can follow him on Twitter at jdalrymple.com. You can follow him. You could, that's how I edit when I do that. When that means that I've edited out the mistake, Jim.
That sounds good.
Yeah, that's good. Anyway, you can follow him on Twitter at Jay Dalrymple. Man, I really appreciate you joining me today. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
How are you doing?
I'm doing, doing all right. What am I? Over-caffeinated and underslept. Must be Thursday. We have a sponsor today, Mac Weldon. I'm going to talk about them later. But very, very thankful for them being our sponsor. So, Jim, we do have three topics. We're going to talk about iPads, we're going to talk about Apple TV, and we're going to talk about Macs. So I guess let's just jump right into it, and let's talk about iPads.
All right.
How you doing?
So, I have a 12.9-inch iPad Pro.
Yeah.
Currently.
Yeah. Which one?
New one.
The newest.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I upgraded that from the 10.5-inch Pro.
So, okay, so you went from the second generation smaller iPad Pro to the third generation largest iPad Pro.
Yeah. And it was really interesting to me. The reason that I went larger, I always liked the larger screen. I have the iPhone XS Max. Hmm. I love the larger screen on everything that I do, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I did have a 12.9-inch, you know, last generation, and the physical form factor of the whole thing was just a bit too big.
But, I'm sorry, which one?
The last version of the 12.9-inch.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
I had one of those.
Yep.
And it was just the entire form factor, all pulled all together, was just a bit too big. The screen was a great size, but everything else, too much. I mean, you know, at that point, you might as well just take a laptop with you.
Yep.
So I opted for the 10.5, and that's what I use all the time, was the 10.5. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. So when the new ones came out, what was interesting is that the 10.5, the new one that fit that model, actually stayed the same physical size.
Yeah, the 11-inch.
But had an 11-inch screen because it took away the forehead and the chin.
Yeah.
So now you had same physical size but larger screen. The 12.9-inch actually came down in size because the screen stayed at 12.9, but they took away the chin and forehead. So I thought that the size of the 12.9 was actually a very good size to use at that point. So that's the one that I've been using.
Okay, that makes sense. It's all right. Let me ask you a question. There's the thing that the kids do. I'm pretty sure these are the same kids that are listening to the metal, right? But this thing that the kids do is they read the books on the iPad.
Right.
Do you read books on the iPad?
I do not. I actually don't read books at all anymore. It's a funny thing for me.
But if I had a bank of sound effects, Jim, I would have triggered a collective gasp.
I haven't read books in a long, long time. I did pick up a couple years ago the short stories of Ernest Hemingway.
Okay.
That's
so you're thinking to yourself, you know, I haven't read anything, so I think we're going to get something that's really, really dense. That seems like this is all checking out now. I'm starting to see the process and pattern.
What's interesting about this for me is that, to me, in my mind, it makes perfect sense, because all I do all day is read.
Yeah,
I read.
No, I hear you, man.
I just read. And when it comes time for a break, the last thing I want to do is read.
Yeah, you want to play some of the metal.
Yeah, I put on the metal and away I go. You know, I haven't even been playing guitar that much, which I should.
Oh, brother, that's not now. You're just going to make me start crying.
Yeah, I know. It's been quite a while for that too, but. What I used to do when I needed a break, I would plug in the guitar and just play for an hour.
Sure.
And, you know, through the run of a day, I would end up playing guitar for, you know, 3 hours or more. Just sitting down, learning new songs or just playing or whatever. And that was my break. And before I started doing what I was doing now, writing and full-time and all that, I did used to read, and I love to read.
Well, here's why I asked about the reading. Because if I was a wealthy man, I would have the largest iPad Pro and the 11-inch. I don't think I'd bother with a mini. And the reason why is... obviously bigger is usually better. I like a big screen. You know, our listeners here on this show and on TDO and our readers too at the Mac Observer have often heard me say that the thing I like about my new Apple Watch, I've got a Series 4, is the huge screen. It's, you know, it's just ginormous. And I seriously still... After having had it for more than 2 months now, I still sometimes find myself gazing adoringly at my wrist because the screen is just so big. It's just great. It's like the Apple Watch is like right now it feels like it's finally arrived, even though I didn't have complaints about it before. If that makes any sense.
It does make sense.
So again, the reason why I was asking you if you're reading, I wasn't trying to read shame you. I was like, I read in bed, and I would not want to read in bed with a 12.9-inch iPad Pro.
Why?
Too big. Too big. I don't want to manhandle a. I don't want to manhandle an iPad Pro in my bed.
I mean, I need glasses to read now, so anything that I can get with a bigger screen and bigger text, that's a bonus for me.
I hear you. But when it comes to other things, you know, any kind of game playing, I would obviously enjoy doing that on an iPad Pro. I'd probably enjoy reading news articles on the large one. I'm by iPad Pro, I mean 12.9. And that's probably the two biggest things I do, Jim. I read news, three biggest things. I read books. I read a lot of Apple news. And I play casual games mostly. And that's what I do with my device. And so for me, that 11-inch form factor is the perfect compromise between too small and too big. And I say that I'm on a 9.7-inch right now. I'm actually waiting for FedEx to deliver an 11-inch, like, now as we record. And, you know, Murphy's Law says that they'll be here while we're recording.
Of course.
Yeah. So what do you do on your, especially now, your new 12.9?
So the internet, I mean, we know that the 12.9 or the new versions of the iPad are just immensely powerful.
Mm-hmm.
They can do everything, and they can do a lot of things better than even a computer. So I don't use the iPad to its full potential. I understand that, but the iPad still has a place in my workflow. So I think this is probably just history, you know, being around for and doing this for the last 25 years. When I have, I'm going to go sit down and actually do some work, I'll go with my Mac. That's my default workhorse, my Mac.
And when you say work, you mean mostly writing with maybe a modicum of graphics work?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mostly writing. I mean, I don't mean, you know, I'm not solving any major scientific algorithms or anything.
Listen, our listeners know what we do for a living.
Yeah. But when I sit down to work, that's what I do. I'll sit down and my Mac is my machine. That's it. Now, if I take a break or I'm done for the day, you know, writing, then I'll pick up my iPad. My iPad becomes
It's a consumption device for you, isn't it?
What?
It's a consumption device.
Yeah. So I'll find things for the story that I'm working on next, and, you know, just copy over some links, take some notes, do a few little things. And that's it. That's what I do with my iPad. So, yeah, consumption is definitely the big thing there for me.
So where do you do your email?
I do my email all over. I'll do email on the iPad. I'll do it on my phone. I'll do it on
your Mac. Yeah.
You know, where my email is, same with my texts. I'll do those anywhere. Wherever I happen to be and whatever device I happen to have, that's where I'll do it.
Yeah.
Interestingly, my music always goes on my iPhone. I don't know why. It's the strangest thing. I can be working on my Mac. I'll take my iPhone out of my pocket and play Apple Music, one playlist, or, you know, a station. I don't use it on the Mac. I have no idea why.
That is interesting. If I'm playing music on, if I'm working and playing music, which is seldom because that's not how my brain works, I'm usually using iTunes on the Mac. But if I'm on the go, it's always iPhone, never iPad.
You know what I think it may be. Now, to be clear, and you and I have talked about this before we had lunch. I can never write and have music going.
Oh, I can't either.
It's too distracting. So, but if I'm surfing and I'm looking at different things that I'm going to be writing, then that's okay. I can go ahead and have some music on. And I think for me, it's that I put music on my iPhone so that when I take a break and I go for a little walk or something, I continue to listen to the same music. You know, because, you know, you get on a good run of of songs or something, you want to keep that going. So I hardly ever use my Mac for music.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I know I've told you, but in that I love talking about myself, I'll just mention it again. I usually have a TV on while I'm writing for the Mac Observer. And never anything that I want to pay attention to. It'd be like, you know, the news or you know, something on the Science Channel, Discovery Channel, History Channel. And if I'm writing fiction, I cannot have the TV on and I listen to music. I cannot listen to music while I'm writing for TMO, and I can't watch TV while I'm writing fiction. Most of the novel that I'm shopping was written listening to music. It's interesting, isn't it? Little left brain, right brain thing, I think.
Yeah, I can't concentrate with anything going on. I have to be, things have to be quiet. So as long as I'm actually thinking and getting things down on paper, down on the computer, it has to be quiet for me. I just can't.
Yeah, and
I can't function.
To your point, if I am really paying attention to, like, if I'm researching something heavily, like, you know, I need to understand this, I need to grok this, the TV gets muted, and when I'm like seriously trying to work out my thoughts on something I'm writing, TV gets muted. But the rest of the time, and you know, if I'm writing, answering emails or reading on a more surface level, I have that TV on in the background. Interesting. We're all wired differently, brother.
Oh, and I wonder how other people do it. You know, how listeners use their. I mean. Do people concentrate better with music on or with TV on in the background, or, you know, I don't know. I couldn't concentrate.
Yeah. I've got a coding buddy, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant coder. I mean, like, anyway, top tier coder, and he usually codes with the TV on, and I just can't even imagine that.
What else do you do with your iPad?
Well, so like I said, the biggest things I do are reading books for pleasure, reading a lot of Apple News, playing mostly casual games. Like I play Friends with Boggle 2 or 3 times a day. Excuse me, Boggle with Friends 2 or 3 times a day. I have a solitaire game that I like that I play. And then I like I've got some tower defense games. I love the Kingdom Rush franchise, and a new Kingdom Rush game is coming out soon. Haven't enjoyed playing things like Civilization, even though Civilization works really, really, really well on the iPad. I would rather play it on my Mac. Same thing with Rome Total War. It's remarkable what a great job they did making that work on iPad. But if I'm going to play it, I'm probably going to sit down on my Mac and play it. So, I mean, those are the biggest things that I do. And, you know, and otherwise, Jim, you know, if I've got to check an email, I'll do it. I'll certainly do iMessage on my iPad. I'd rather do iMessage on my iPad than my iPhone. Although I would rather still do it on my Mac. Again, typing, keyboard. So yeah, that's the bulk of what I do. I'm certainly not putting it to its professional paces either.
I guess that's one of my main problems with the iPad. I really like the smart cover,
mm-hmm.
but the keys are so small that I don't like typing on it. And I've said this since they first put out this keyboard for the iPad, that mm-hmm. I don't understand why the keys are so small. There is room there to expand the keys. I wish they would expand the keys and make them bigger.
You're typing it wrong.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
Oh. I've heard, have you played with the Bridge keyboard?
No.
Everybody who has used both, who writes for a living or writes a lot, talks about how much better the Bridge keyboard is for extended writing sessions. Huh. You got to get them to send you one.
Yeah, you got to text me that the name of that.
Yeah, sure. I will do that. Yeah, they do good work over there.
I think honestly, if typing was better for me on the iPad, I would probably use it more. But you know, for me, the Mac is always going to be my go to workhorse, always. So,
what do you think of the toaster fridge? An iPad or a Mac that you can touch?
No, I don't want a Mac I can touch.
You know, I used to say the same thing, Jim.
No.
I used to say the same thing, Jim. And I had my mind changed by people who use the Surfi and love them.
No. No. I'm going to hang up. Look, I have a Mac that I can touch. It's called an iPad.
No, I'm calling balderdash, brother. Oh, no way, man.
See, you're getting all upset now because you're wrong, and you don't like to be wrong. And that's okay. It's okay. Just go with it.
I see you're not just meeting me for the first time.
Yeah. Well, you know, if that's the way that
this whole thing working with an iPad, multitasking in particular, working with different apps at the same time, working with the keyboard, it is not as good on an iPad as it is on a Mac.
And the Mac has been around for how much longer than the iPad?
What? Not that much longer. The iPad has been around for...
Oh, my God.
The iPad has been around for plenty long enough. What does that have to do with anything?
Math is obviously not your strong point.
Okay, the Mac has clearly been around for a lot longer, but I don't see how that means anything. Look, I mean, the iPad is plenty, plenty powerful.
Yes.
But it is not as good at multitasking and being productive, unless you're doing something like art, for instance, or working, GarageBand.
They're working out an entirely new paradigm here on how to use touch and your fingers to navigate around an operating system. There is no way that a touchscreen Mac would be as good as a touchscreen iPad. The operating systems are built specific for those things. And, you know, Surface people, okay, I get it that some people might like the Surface. Good for you. I don't see it. I really don't.
Fair enough. Like I said, I used to be in that camp. I have.
Well, you should come back.
I think that there is a better way of doing. All right, hold on. Let's back up. So, Ballmer's vision of the toaster fridge, which was when the toaster fridge label was first trotted out, right? It was when Ballmer was still in charge, and it was a monstrosity. And you know, their whole like one operating system to do everything just means that it does nothing well,
right?
And under Satya Nadella, I think that they have made some pretty significant strides, but I also think that there is a better way of allowing a device to go from being computer to being tablet that makes sense, and that Apple is the company that could truly do that. And I don't think we're there with the iPad today. And I don't know that we ever can be with iOS.
Well, I think that's a bit of a stretch because you're not giving Apple very much credit for where they could take iOS. I mean, you know, if we look back at macOS 7 or 8, there's no way you could think that it would be where it is today.
I thought we'd be further. I thought we'd be more different than we are today. If you go back 20 years to macOS 7, 20 plus years. Wow. Where's my jetpack? I want my flying cars.
You've been doing too much fiction writing. That's the problem. You need to stay here in reality for a while. I don't think that a touchscreen Mac is the way to go, and I never have. I don't want a touchscreen Mac. I really don't.
So what do you like? Have you ever seen a kid like reach up and to touch a young kid in particular? To reach out and touch a Mac screen, of course, it doesn't do anything.
Absolutely. And that's when you give them an iPad and it does do something.
I think what those kids are trying to
get the iPad.
Who?
Old people that want to use a Mac. They don't get the iPad. All the young people and the like, my grandmother just turned 90. She has an iPad. Loves it. Doesn't want anything to do with a computer. Loves the iPad, though.
Uh-huh.
They're, in my opinion, making a Mac into a touchscreen ignores what the iPad is setting out to do, and that's to give us a brand new platform to be able to have a touch screen, but do powerful things like AR. You know, the Mac can't do that. The Mac can't use as many 4K streams in iMovie as the iPad can.
But that's an indictment of the Mac, not an endorsement of the iPad.
Well, I'm not trying to indict anything here. I'm just saying that. But there are things that the Mac can do that the iPad can't do as well. One of them would be multitasking. Clearly, I use the Mac more for work, and so do you. So
yeah, I can honestly see right now, by the way.
Is that our unwillingness to try and use?
Well, that's definitely a big part of it. You know, young people are so much more comfortable with touch only interface and living their life with their face in their iPhone or maybe an iPad, much more comfortable than folks like us.
To me, for you to admit you were wrong.
See, when I do that, I usually steal Stephen Colbert's line and say, "I accept your apology."
Yeah,
it's a great line. But I actually think though, Jim, that the way young people are so much more comfortable with their touchscreens is why there is room for a toaster fridge. And I think that Apple could do a toaster fridge right. I'd be flabbergasted if they hadn't been playing with a toaster fridge concept somewhere.
Of course they have. Of course. But it's not a workable solution.
So I don't think you're giving Apple enough credit.
No.
Nope. All right, so we have a sponsor today. The sponsor is Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon makes men's underwear. They make shirts and socks, undershirts, hoodies, sweatpants. And they make it really, really well. Everybody that wears their products talks about how comfortable they are, how well they wear, how good they feel. Right? So you want to check them out. That's Mack Weldon. That's Mack, by the way, with a K. MackWeldon.com. I'm going to tell you about a promo code, too. They have a line of silver underwear and shirts where they have silver embedded in the fabric, which makes it naturally antimicrobial. That means it eliminates odor, which is like great. It's good stuff, right? and they want you to be comfortable. If you don't like your first pair, you can keep it, and they will still refund you, no questions asked. I mean, how's that for, like, you know, a no-risk opportunity to try it? Which is just fantastic. This is a good company. It's one of those companies I'm super proud to have sponsoring our podcast. I very much appreciate it. So what you want to do, you can get 20% off your first order by using promo code ACM at checkout. So if you go to macweldon.com, and that's Mac with a K, enter promo code ACM at checkout, you're going to get 20% off of your first order. I've got a link in the show notes. Real easy for you to use. All you have to remember is that promo code ACM. So go to macweldon.com. That's Mac with a K. MACKweldon.com. And use promo code ACM at checkout. Definitely go look at what they're doing. They've showed us some love. I'd like you to show them some love. And we appreciate them sponsoring us today. All right, topic two. Topic two, Jim. Mr. Dalrymple. Topic two is, where will Apple TV go? And this topic came up between us in part because I was ranting earlier today about how bad the DirecTV Now app is on Apple TV. I haven't tested it on other devices. I don't know if it's just as bad over there. So my complaining about that app is not complaining about Apple TV. It's absolutely complaining about the DirecTV Now app. And I ranted about it this Thursday morning's daily observations. And you, when you and I were talking about topics before the show, kind of wanted to take the same conversation we just had about, like, how we use our iPads and look at how we use Apple TV, and then also talk about where it's going to go in the future.
Yeah, I have nothing to say.
You're such a jerk. So do you have an Apple TV, right?
I do. I have one of I have two Apple TVs, one in the living room, and then I have a TV in a gazebo outside.
And oh, a gazebo. That's fancy.
I know. It's a little round hut.
Right. That's nice, though. That's great. I also have two. I've got one in my office, and I've got one in the living room. And I hate the fact that they do not remember that I'm playing out to a HomePod. I've got to reset that, like, all the time. On both of them. It's the stupidest thing.
I don't play out to a HomePod, so I've never tried that. I have a HomePod. I just don't play out.
Sure.
I have a Sonos system.
Sure. That's a good solution. But otherwise, I love my Apple TV. And I hate the remote, love the Apple TV, love most of the apps that are on there. Haven't played any games or anything like that. DirecTV Now app is just garbage. Netflix app is fantastic. I'm very happy having my television going through my Apple TV.
Let me ask you, do you have a cable subscription or a satellite subscription?
No, when I moved in June, I don't think I told you that. I moved in June. Yeah, so I'm living on my own now. And when I set up here, I wanted to stay away from Comcast because they are of the devil. And I wanted to, I was hoping to get gigabit fiber from AT&T because I had it in the last place I was in. Unfortunately, it's not available in my house, but it's supposed to be coming, right? So anyway, I got AT&T's internet, and I went ahead and got DirecTV Now rather than sticking a satellite dish on my roof.
Right. So your sole TV experiences, DirecTV Now, that's it.
Well, and then, you know, Netflix, Amazon Prime. Yeah.
So I'll say along with you that I love Netflix on my Apple TV. Wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm.
I use it all the time. Absolutely love
it. Yep. The Hulu app isn't bad.
So I haven't tried Hulu. I did try DirecTV Now. Didn't really like it.
But that's only because it's awful.
Infinity account.
Okay.
So one thing that bothers me is that, you know, 2 years ago, Apple talked about this single sign-on.
Yes.
It still doesn't work.
No.
Infinity.
No.
You know, and I realize this isn't Apple's fault. It's Xfinity's fault. But it still kind of, you know, ticks me off that Apple's now talking about zero sign-in. Well, wait. What about single sign-in? That's still not working.
Yeah.
So, again, not Apple's fault, but when Apple announces that, you know, this is coming and it still doesn't work for a whole lot of people, just, it makes me angry.
Well, you know, Apple TV does not feel like, in any way whatsoever, abandonware to me.
No, I don't think so either. But I don't know. I think for a long time, we were all expecting Apple to come out with its own TV service.
Yes.
And it's kind of strange that they haven't, because, you know, even PlayStation has its own TV service. I think Apple could have done very well, you know, even just through Apple people.
But the problem there was that none of the studios or networks wanted to give Apple control of their customer. That was the industry. Like, the industry was happy to make deals with everybody else, but they wouldn't make a deal with Apple.
So you think it all comes down to privacy?
When I am at my angriest, Jim, this is how I think about it. The record industry has largely been furious that Apple saved their bacon.
Right.
And, you know, now they kind of like it because they make a bunch of money from Apple Music that they apparently don't have to share with the artist. So that's cool. But it seems like the TV and movie industry looked at what happened to the music industry, and that is, you know, Apple taking over that relationship, first through iTunes, now through Apple Music, taking over that relationship with the customer, and they're just like, you know, we have to not let that happen at any cost. And, like, you know, and we would see, we, like, you know, we would hear about the things that Apple was trying to, like, a la carte services, doing some kind of streaming package, a minimal streaming package, maybe with the possibility of add-ons. And this would be something that you could use in lieu of a cable. You know, it was like cord cutting before cord cutting became cord cutting.
Right.
And then nothing would happen. And then we would, you know, one by one, we would see other companies doing what industry leaks said Apple was not being allowed to do.
And that comes down to what?
It could be, you know, it, of course, when I'm not, I sometimes have a love-hate relationship with Apple. I'm very critical about some things, and I'm very much a defender with others. It is possible that Apple was making demands that the television and movie industry didn't want to meet.
Right.
I think, though, that that industry was much, 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 much healthier than the music industry was. And that they were intent on making sure that Apple didn't take over this part of the world too. And that's when that's what I think it was.
I don't disagree with you there, but I don't know. In some ways, I think that Apple's plans were bigger than just a skinny bundle, and that's why they didn't come out with something. But, you know, the rumors now of Apple going into... No, well, they're not rumors. They are going
into... Yeah, they're just outright leaks.
Yep, just making their own shows and doing that kind of stuff. I'm skeptical of the success of that as well.
Oh, funny enough, I'm not.
Oh, I am. I am, because I think if Apple went and hired all of these execs that they are hiring, and, you know, producers and directors and stars and everything, and let them make a show, I think that would be, you know, Apple needs, you know, pick your Netflix original or Hulu original show. They need one of those shows. But I think what Apple's going to do is make all G-rated shows, which is fine. But I think the success of some of these other shows have proven that that's not really what the adults want. If Apple wants to make a bunch of kids shows, then okay. You can be successful doing that.
We know that some of the shows they assigned are definitely adult shows.
Well, they're adult network shows on the same level as, you know, that would be broadcast on ABC or NBC. They're not HBO, Showtime.
Yes, yeah, for sure, for sure.
You know, and clearly, that is where the success is. And, you know, HBO, Showtime, I don't know, AMC, at Netflix, Hulu.
Amazon.
That is where the success in modern day TV is.
Yeah, and a lot of that success has been edgy content.
And it has been edgy content. And if that's not where Apple wants to be, then that's okay. But I think that limits how successful they're going
to
be.
All right. So, and you're welcome to claim victory, although I'm not actually granting it, but you're welcome to at least try to claim it. I think that we can look at how bad the first season of Carpool Karaoke was when it was finally released, and we can blame that on Apple, and that speaks directly to what you're saying.
And Planet of the Apps.
And but
yeah, I would.
But no,
this is we've had two topics so far, and I win both.
Planet of the Apps was a bad show, but it wasn't a bad show because Apple wanted to make it G-rated. It was just a bad show.
It was,
and Apple was producing it. And the difference between Planet of the Apps and the shows that are being done by Jamie Ehrlich and Zach Van Amberg? Zach Van... We'll do some sausage making right here. Can never remember this guy's name. Zach Van Amberg. Yeah, I got it right the first time. They hired those two guys, and then those two guys are contracting out to studios and independent production houses to make the shows. And that's not what happened with the Planet of the Apps, and it's not what, well, I guess in what happened to Carpool Karaoke could happen to those shows. Tim could say, yeah, you're going to have to cut this and this and this.
I think that the shows that Apple makes, as long as they leave these people alone to do the shows, even though they're, you know, the G-rated type shows, they're not going to be shows for the people that like the HBO Showtime content. This is not it. That's not what you're going to get. For the people that like network content, ABC, CBS, NBC, you may like some of this stuff. And admittedly, I like some of that stuff too. I was just hoping that Apple would take the foray into original content a bit more seriously than what they are. And
Jim, I don't think they're not taking it seriously. I think that they're trying to have their cake and eat it too.
Don't interrupt me. I'm in the middle of a very important thought. Now I forgot. Go ahead. Invited me here.
I don't think. Welcome to the show.
You just remember this mistake.
Welcome to the show. I don't think the issue is that they're not taking it seriously. I think they're taking it very seriously. I think
they're taking it too seriously.
I think that the problem is they're trying to have their cake and eat it too. They want to do it seriously. They want to have people do their thing, but you got to do your things within a box. And that box is, you know, no sex, no, what is it? No sex and no violence?
No, and no violence and no swearing.
No swearing. That's ridiculous. Like what's a Ron Moore show going to be? What is Ron Moore going to do within that? Within that box?
I don't know.
All right. Well, when this service comes to the light of day, if it is too sanitized, I'm in your camp.
Okay.
If it's not too sanitized, and they have, as you put it, let these folks do what it is that they do, I think Apple could have a big success on its hands.
Oh, I that's where I am too.
I accept your apology.
Don't Stephen Colbert me, because I've been right again. I said right from the beginning, I think Apple's restricting these people too much, and if they just let them go and make shows. Showtime, HBO type shows, Amazon, Hulu, you know, then yeah, they got a good chance of really nailing this.
Okay, but what,
that's not going to happen.
What we're not hearing though is we're not hearing these creative folks complaining about this yet.
Well, of course not. They're getting like millions and millions of dollars. They're going to make
if Apple is squishing on them more than they expected, they're absolutely going to squawk about it.
Oh my God!
They're absolutely going to squawk about it.
It's like you invited me here to teach you
things. you think that the creative types in Hollywood are going to keep their mouths shut? Their mouths shut just because they're getting a paycheck.
Yeah.
So all of
these crap shows and crap movies that come out all the time, you never hear from the creatives about how crappy they are, but they get their paycheck and then walk away. Of course they're going to get their paycheck. Come on. They're making a ton of money.
They're going to complain about it, even if it's anonymously.
They'll complain about it afterwards, just exactly like what happened with Planet of the Apes. Did anybody complain during that? No. But when it bombed, everybody complained.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good comparison, though.
It is a good. It's perfect.
It's no, because Apple produced that. I mean, that's like an Eddie Q show.
You're done.
Apple produced that show. It's the difference.
But I'm walking all over you today. I'm feeling bad.
The difference is that Apple is not producing these new shows. It's like they learned their lessons from the Planet of the Apes.
Wait a minute. Apple still has its finger in the pie here.
Well, how much so?
Like Sony saying, go ahead and make some shows, boys, and, you know, let's really rock this.
How sure are you of that? Because that's exactly the impression I've got. I've got the impression that Jamie and Zach have the power to make shows.
You're wrong.
Why?
Sure.
I mean, like, because you know, or because that's your gut?
Because Apple's not going to let them get too far down a road of, oh, you've got curse words and sex scenes in here.
No, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure that Apple had marching orders, but all those people should know those marching orders before they sign their names.
There you go. I accept your apology.
Well, no, but that's the whole point. That's the whole point. If Zach and Jamie are signing these shows, and they have their marching orders, and everybody is agreeing to what those marching orders are before they sign, I don't think there's going to be a problem. But if Apple turns around and tries to get involved after the fact and starts like saying, no, you got to change this, you got to change this, you got to change this, then that's where the problem's going to be. And that's what people are going to squawk about.
Right. I think that, it's going to be interesting to see how much Apple stays out of the way and how much they...
Yes.
And start stirring it up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that the level of that involvement will determine how successful it's going to be.
Yes, we are in agreement there.
Okay.
I am optimistic and you are pessimistic.
I am cautious, but we both know that they're not going to make the same level of original content that has become popular on the independent services or the premium channels. I think that we both know that. So they're going to make some network shows. Could those be popular? Absolutely. Absolutely could. Are they going to be absolute, like, blockbuster, you know, like Breaking Bad? And no, they're not. Not unless they go hands off, which I don't think they'll do.
Yeah. All right, it's going to be very, very interesting to see one way or another. This was supposed to be, by the way, a conversation of where Apple TV was going to go. But
well, I guess this is, that's a pretty good fit for that whole conversation.
Yeah, I was thinking more software originally, but this was a more interesting conversation to have. All right, so Macintosh.
All right. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's good. Everything's good, huh? Like Mac Pro's good?
Mac Pro's coming. You've got a new Mac Pro coming.
Yeah, sure. It's only been 4 years.
What's the problem with that?
It's been 4 years. That's my problem.
I get that. But they've come out and said that they made a mistake and the new Mac Pro is coming.
So have you heard my theory?
What?
My theory is that what the Mac Pro is waiting for is the move to... Apple processors.
Yeah, I've heard that, and you know, it's fascinating to me all this talk about Apple processors, because Apple could. I don't know the difference technically between, like an A12 processor running on an iPhone. And what would be needed to run on a desktop. But the A12 processor is so powerful that if they could, I mean, if that's the processor that they need and they can port everything over, then yeah, it would make sense because they're already beating Intel at their own game.
And for some things, yes.
What aren't they?
Well, there are kinds of processing that Intel is still superior at.
Okay.
But I think that Apple has been like narrowing that. I mean, I can't
Apple's
wait.
Doing 7-nanometer.
Yeah, but it's not. I mean, a lot of it is the instruction set too. I mean, it's not just I mean, the 7-nanometer thing is great in terms of power and size, but it doesn't necessarily make a processor faster. But one way or another, I am all for Apple switching over to its own processors. They've done such a great job on the mobile side. If they think they can do desktop too, then I buy it and I can't wait for it.
Well, part of what makes a platform successful is the software that's on it. So that means we have to go through another transition.
Yeah, it does. But this is, I mean, like, Apple has shown that it can do those transitions.
I know, but do you really want to do another transition? I mean, obviously they've thought about all of this. I mean, you finally get everybody back onto your platform, and you're going to change again?
Oof. Yeah, fair points. I think, however, well, anyway, one way or another, I think it's happening. I think it's happening, well, my theory is that when Adobe told us that they were doing full Photoshop on iPad in 2019, I said, this is what Mac Pro is waiting on. It's waiting for the Adobe's doing it because Mac is also going to shift to ARM, and the timing is that's when Apple is going to be ready to do that transition.
Well, I don't think that there's any doubt in my mind anyway that Apple already has Macs running that.
Sure.
In their secret laboratories.
Of course.
You know, that's what they do. They have touchscreen Macs. They have ARM Macs. They have, you know, all of this stuff running and have for a while. And this is how they do things. And of course they're going to do that. But I think this whole transition thing is something. I mean, you know, are we going to have another classic layer to run those older apps again?
Seems like we have to.
It seems like we have to. And how much, I mean, part of what Apple has to do is to say to the Mac developers, you know, they've already kind of got this thing where, you know, you can bring across iOS apps to the Mac. I forget the code name of that, what it was.
Yep, but I remember it.
They're going to need something to bring Mac apps to the new ARM chip and have those work flawlessly.
Well, I think that's another reason why that was finally announced.
No, I all of this seems to fit. I have no argument against what you're saying. I'm just saying that, you know, because they've made the transition before, that doesn't make a future transition any easier.
Well, the experience, though, that they have doing managing those transitions and the fact that a lot of those people are still there does mean that Apple has a better chance of doing yet another transition far better than anyone else could.
No, I don't disagree with that either. One of the things that they're going to have to do, or actually two of the things, is have that classic layer and have some type of an easy port transition for developers where they're not going to have to rewrite their apps.
Yeah.
So if they can do those, I mean, go ahead.
Do it. All right. So here is where I get cranky with the Mac, Jim. I want new Mac models yearly. So, because things change over the course of a year. Like, for instance, should not be paying the same price for 4-year-old GPUs in a Mac Pro that we were paying 4 years ago. That's just insulting. It's beyond insulting. The Mac Mini was an embarrassment. The Mac Pro is an embarrassment. The iMac Pro is quickly becoming not pro.
You think?
Yeah, I do. I think that the computers should be updated once a year, just like the iPhones, just like the iPads. Or just like, actually, iPad hasn't always been updated every year, but it has been for the last 3 years. And I don't understand why Apple doesn't. When they do release new units, sales go up. And then when they don't, sales go down. It just seems like, you know, take some of that money and hire some more folks and make some frickin' Macs every year.
Well, I don't think it's...
Ah, look at that. FedEx. All right, well, I just had FedEx guy deliver that new iPad I mentioned earlier. So I think we both lost our train of thoughts. So please bear with us. The
you should go play with your new iPad.
Well, I will as soon as we're done here. The thing is that when Apple is still selling sometimes multi-year-old technology for the same price that it was released at, it feels like the company is taking me as a Mac user for granted. And it's certainly not anything I want to buy.
It's hard to argue that point. I don't have any argument for that. I mean, I think when I talk about the state of the Mac, and it's, I think it's in good shape, I look at the current iMac, which I have. I have one of the current iMacs, and I love it. Very powerful.
iMac Pro?
No, just the iMac. Very powerful. Love it. I do all kinds of music stuff, you know, Logic and
sure.
Pro Tools and stuff like that. It works great. I look at the notebooks, the laptops, and I think it's a good line of laptops. I use a MacBook Pro every day. Great. I have no issue with them. The new Airs that come out, they're obviously very popular machines.
I wish there was an i7 option. It drives me nuts that there wasn't an i7 option.
I think overall, the laptop line is looking really good. When I look to the Pro line, I mean, first the Mac Pro. When I look to the Pro line, I say, okay, they clearly, you know, screwed up with the Mac Pro, but they have come out and said, we're going to do something about that in 2018.
Yes.
Okay, so to me, that part is in good shape because they've recognized that they made some mistakes and they're fixing those mistakes with a whole new design and functionality. So, okay, I'll put that aside. And did they make some mistakes earlier? Yeah, they did. Okay, but they've addressed it. The iMac Pro, never used one. Don't really know. I think, you know, processing power and everything seems like a very good machine. So when I look at it, the Mac Mini, I don't care about one way or another. I really don't. Doesn't matter to me. So looking at their whole lineup, I think they've touched on everything over this past year. And I think everything looks like it's in good shape. So I just tell them to keep going. You know, next year is going to be all about the Mac Pro. We'll see what they do with the iMac Pro. But their main selling machines, which I would say would be the iMac and the MacBook Pros, they're in good shape.
Yeah. Yeah. So iMac is
that one too, three,
iMac Ooh. Is overdue. iMac Pro is overdue. And I agree that, you know, they have acknowledged the issue with Mac Pro, and that's great. And I'm waiting for it. It's back when Apple was beleaguered, you know, quote unquote.
Aren't they still doomed?
sometimes yeah, we haven't killed the Apple death knell counter yet, but because every once in a while you do get that pronouncement of doom, but Apple used to be able to deliver new Macs. Every one of its Macs would be new at least every year, sometimes every 9 months. For a while, it was actually every 9 months. And at some point, that just clearly became unimportant. And I want the Mac to still be important. And this is, this is still coming back to some of that age thing we talked about before. Right?
Where the Mac is unimportant.
It doesn't feel like it, man.
No, I don't see that. I don't see the Mac as being unimportant. I mean, clearly, the iPhone is more important, but that's where they're making all their money. So that has to take priority. But that doesn't mean that the Mac is unimportant.
But,
and if you look at some of the things that have happened over the past couple of years that have led to Apple not updating its machines, a lot of those were due to Intel problems. And I think, let's face it, years ago when Apple would update the Mac all the time, sometimes they were tiny little bumps. There was no event or anything. It was just a little presser, and they were tiny little bumps.
I would take that.
But for what good? I mean,
for me not to be paying year and a half old prices for year and a half old technology, or 4 year old prices for 4 year old technology.
Okay, but you keep going back to these. Yes, they did make mistakes. I agree with that.
Yeah, but they're still making them, Jim. The iMac Pro is a year and a half old, same price. There have been lots of new GPUs that have come out. Been new processors that have come out. Do a little bump on that thing.
Do a little bump on that thing. I don't know. I think that I get what you're saying. I really do, and I don't disagree with you. But I think that you're still looking at past mistakes and not giving credit for what's happening right now.
Well, I see why you say that. I don't think it's the case, but I will certainly acknowledge that it may be. The issue is, like, we went through, was it 2015 or 2016, where Apple shipped 14 new products the whole year. It's ridiculous. It still just boggles my mind. And then it seemed like everything was like fantastic. We got new MacBook Pros, and then we got more new MacBook Pros, and yay, things are, it seemed like things are going well again. And then over the course of the last year, in 2018, it seemed like Apple is again kind of slowed down on this stuff, at least in some regards. I mean, the MacBook itself hasn't been updated for a while. The iMac Pro hasn't been updated for a while. And I think that the iMac itself is also 2 years old, isn't it?
No.
Yeah. What's the current iMac? iMac product history. You can hear the keyboard, so you know it's working. Oh, no. December. See, they shipped the iMac Pro 11 months ago. It was announced 17 months ago. And I'm not seeing the most recent iMac. It certainly wasn't last year.
Yeah, it was. I have a 2017.
Is it 2017? Is it? Okay.
I'm trying to
May 2017.
What?
May 2017.
There, why couldn't you do that first? No, you had to say it was 2015. Come on.
Okay, so it's a year and a half old.
Works great.
There haven't been any changes in GPUs or CPUs since then, huh?
Oh, my.
Still the same price, though. That's pretty cool. Jim, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
All right, so let's see. Thanks to Mac Weldon also for sponsoring us, and I'm going to hit this here bumper. And then I'm going to say that this is this week's Apple Context Machine. Again, I want to thank Mr. Dalrymple for co-hosting. If you have anything you want to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com or join us over at facebook.com/groups/Context Machine. Our content is written by the amazing staff at the Mac Observer, except for the parts that Jim said. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And that is all for this week. Thank you very much, Jim.
Thank you.